broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It was heart-wrenching to see my son walk out my front door.
I hope he hears me. I hope someone knows I'm here. I suppose they do.
We want to slow up the process. And the reason we have left the state temporarily.
I really don't get that at all. I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like there's any victims.
A little bit loose.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And in this show, we invite you to join us as we walk into the future together, walking into the future to ensure the stability and the security of this great country. Join us. The state of Wisconsin is reviewing complaints that doctors are writing knowingly false excuse notes for protesters. An 11-year-old gets cuffed, arrested, and thrown in a cell, that is handcuffed, after drawing an inappropriate picture at school, and San Franciscans may vote to ban circumcision. Always good to have San Francisco right on top of what is going on in this country, always with their finger on the pulse of America. San Francisco, always relevant, always addressing super serious and very, very important issues. They'll be banning circumcision. Jay Sanis and Rob Barnes will be our guests this very evening. Rob Barnes talking to us from Madison, Wisconsin, and we're going to have him up next to talk about progress, possibly, in this ridiculous and this ongoing ridiculous holdout, not a lockout, a holdout by these Democratic lawmakers. The number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, KRPT 92.5 FM in San Antonio. And in Pensacola, Florida, WPNN 790 AM. And don't forget to visit the official Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com, where you can watch our live streaming video tonight, right now, as well as access the archives, as well as our podcasts each and every day on iTunes, as well as our news feed, as well as our blogs and our merchandise with our best of CDs and the shot glass just in time for Valentine's Day, just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Would have been good for Valentine's Day. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, and joining me from Madison, Wisconsin is Rob Barnes. And Rob, good of you to join us. We thank you. You were with us last week. What's changed?
Well, a couple of things have changed, Phil. Maybe in the perception of the Republican governor, Scott Walker, what's changed is he doesn't have, I don't think he's got the belief that he's going to be able to cow us or to push us into coming back in. I think he's going to have to come to the table, and I think he's going to have to bring with him his ballpoint pen. Because what we're asking for now is for Scott Walker to acknowledge that he's got to deal with us. There's no question he's got to deal with us right now in Indiana and Ohio, unless he wants this thing to spread. Unless he wants this thing to spread, because right now, this thing is going to be out of control. It's going...
Well, what do you mean by out of control? Are you guys in control?
Yes, of course we're in control, but the public workers unions in a variety of states, you know, Indiana and Ohio and places like that, they're a whole separate entity from us. I don't know. When I say out of control, I don't mean people are going to be out of control. I'm going to say that the Republicans are not going to have the control they think that they have over the state workers, and they're going to have to concede that they got to come to the table. And that's what we're telling Walker tonight. We're saying, you got to sit down with us now, and let's get this thing ironed, and tell us that you're going to sit down with us, and you're going to deal with us, because there's no, he's not going to win this. You know,
it seems to me, if you don't mind here, Rob, it seems to me that Walker has really all the cards. He's got the electorate.
No, he doesn't have all the cards. What do you mean he's got all the cards?
Well, he's got the electorate, the people that voted for him. He has the assembly. He has the Senate. What do you mean? What makes you think you can get him to the table?
I'm not saying that what makes me think we can get him to the table. I'm telling you that right now he's got to sit down with us and let's talk. Because it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do the state of Wisconsin any good. I'm a teacher. I'm not necessarily a doctor. We've got doctors that are in our corner. We've got all of the non-union people. A lot of the non-union people are in our corner. So here in Madison, what we're looking at is strength in numbers, and we've got people from all over the country that are sending us emails and telling us that we're doing a great job. And what has Walker got? Walker's got state employees that are not reporting for work. He's got the entire Democratic side of the state Senate is not coming in.
So, well, what Walker has is, yeah, the entire Democratic side of the state Senate's not coming in. So he has a, in my opinion, he has a very public victory there.
In what sense?
In the sense that the Democrats look bad. And they look bad because they're not coming to work. Sooner or later, the American people are going to turn on the protesters because what they're seeing are a bunch of people crying and screaming about stuff.
No, we're not crying and screaming.
No, a bunch of people that are crying and screaming about stuff and don't want to come in. The rest of us are working. We look at the numbers. We know the country is in distress in terms of the economics. I just saw a very intelligent guy on TV tonight. I really like this guy.
Let me address what you were talking about, though, okay?
And I just want to mention Cory Booker, who's the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. This is a Democrat that Republicans can work with because this guy said, while there should be some rapprochement, some negotiation, fact is, unions are, they're murdering his state, and he came right out and said it.
Well, I don't know who this guy is for him to say that.
He's the Democratic mayor of Newark, New Jersey, which is a very big city, populous city.
Well, I'm saying that we want to, Walker's got to give us, he's got to let us come in and sit down and have the media cover that so that we don't look, you know, right now what you're talking about, us looking bad, is probably something the Republicans would like. And maybe it's something that you would like. Maybe it's something that Cory Booker would like, even though he's a Democrat. It's not anything that we want. It's not anything we like. So I'm saying we need to be able to have Walker bring us in, sit us at a negotiating table, and give us, at least in the eyes of the media, give us a way to look good and constructive so we don't look like people that were trying to tear the system down, and so that we can come back in and we can be, on some level, heroes to the other workers out there and other Democrats out there. That's what we're asking for.
And you want Walker to say he'll sit down and negotiate with you because you need a face saver?
I didn't use the word face saver. I said,
well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like,
well, whatever it sounds like, Mr. Henry. You know, Cory Booker, he doesn't sound like a Democrat to me. You tell me he's a Democrat, okay? But I'm telling you, Walker has. We are out. We have Democrats that are out. It doesn't look like Walker's going to back down. So, and even though his legislation is going to require state employees to contribute 5.8% of our pay to our pensions, we pay for far less. And he's going to require us to pay at least 12.6% for, I think that's for medical, okay?
And right. All of that stuff. Are you want to negotiate?
I'm saying what we need is for him to get us, in the eyes of the media, that we have won, is all I'm asking. Even though I know, yes, we haven't won, but he needs to get us in a way where we don't look like we have been lazy and we have been gluttonous and we are standing around with signs and we're cheap. And that's the way they've been portraying us.
Well, that's the way it looks, man. I don't know whether they portrayed you that way. By the way, Governor Walker wants to curtail union collective bargaining rights, limiting talks to the subject of basic wages and not, you know, the other topics that are of interest to you guys.
Yeah, I know. All of these things are wrong, and all of these things we went out on strike against, and all of these things the Democrats have left, but we're not getting any real movement. And what you said, I will acknowledge, is probably true.
You've gone from the very beginning of this conversation, you've gone from saying Walker can't win to we got to come in because we don't want to look bad. We need a face saver.
I never used the word face saver, Mr. Henry. You keep...
Well, that's what it is, though. You're saying that you've gone from the very beginning, you said Walker can't win, to now the Democrats...
We want to go back to our jobs. We realize that Walker is a ideologue who is bent on destroying our union, and I shouldn't say that, because I really do want him to reach out to us And so I'll apologize for that. I don't think the governor wants to destroy our union. I think he's a good governor. I just think that I wish it hadn't gotten so mixed up. And
so now what are you telling me that you want? You want the governor to say, let's sit down, he will negotiate?
Yes. And
you know that most of the Republicans don't want that.
I'm not saying at this particular point he has to do that. I'm saying what he has to do is he's got to give us a face saver. Look, I'm going to come in and we'll do what we got to do, our union and the Democrats, but I got to get some indication from this guy, Walker, that we, when we come in, he's not going to immediately go to the nearest microphone and start talking about what unbelievably bad people we are and how we are lazy and cheap and all these things I know he's going to say. All we're asking for is that he says, you know, they went out on strike and that's their right and they're good people and now, you know, they forced me into sitting down at the union table.
You're asking for the governor to say that you forced his hand.
That is correct.
Even though you haven't.
And I'm asking you, and we'd like to ask the media to quit leaning on us like that, you know, even though we haven't.
Well, even though you haven't, what you're asking for is that it looks like you've been able to force him to the table.
We're asking for something that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have taken pruning shears and cut my own tongue out of my own mouth for saying, but now I'm going to say it, yeah. We're asking for the governor of Wisconsin to give us the ability to go back to work and not look like a bunch of crying, whining, cheap bums.
So, all right. Well, it sounds to me, and we will talk more, Rob. Our number 877-876-7445 here with Rob Barnes, who's a middle school teacher, not a middle school teacher. What grades do you teach?
I teach middle school and I teach high school.
All right. So what you have essentially said, and I don't want to keep leaning on this, is that you have gone from saying that Walker's got all the cards. And
whether he's got all the cards or not, I'd ask you to quit saying that he's got all the cards and instead get on board with us and say Walker has been forced to the negotiating table by the Democrats and they're coming in and they're going to sit down with Walker and negotiate and go back to work. Otherwise, when we go in, people are going to say, there go those Democrats, a bunch of losers. And I don't think it's fair. God knows we took our hits during the Bush years. We got a Democrat for a president.
So, folks, what I'm hearing here, if I could just say this, Rob Barnes is a Democrat in Wisconsin saying that Walker needs to give the Democrats a face saver.
No, I did not say face saver.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say it. That Walker needs to give the Democrats a face saver, then they'll come in and sit down and make it look like you're negotiating?
I would wish that you wouldn't use terms like that. We'll sit down and negotiate when... If he says no, then we'll get up and leave. But don't make it sound like we're caving. And I'll tell you something. There's a limit to my patience, too. I'm willing, in a finite window, I'm willing to go in there and be humiliated by Walker. I just don't want to be humiliated in the eyes of the press and the people. That's all. Walker can laugh in my face. Walker can... I don't care. But to the press and the people, we've got to look like we won the fight. Or at least if it was a draw.
You sound upset.
I am upset.
877-876-7445. Should Governor Walker give the Democrats in Wisconsin some kind of a face-saving solution? Go ahead and say to the press that he's going to negotiate with them. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to give them anything. But at least they can come out of hiding and go back to work. What do you think? 877-876-7445. I don't think that the governor is going to do that so long as he has people like Mr. Barnes who is saying, you know, don't make me look like a slob to the press and the people. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back to our show here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we continue to march into the future. But we've got on the line with us, we have on the line with us right now Rob Sloan, who is with the Wisconsin Teachers Union, and we're talking about the situation in Wisconsin. Now, you, Rob, have said to me that you are willing to go in, you and the teachers and the union there are willing to go in. By what union? Are you talking about the public employees, right?
Well, I'm talking not only about the public employees, Phil. I'm talking about the state senators. I'm saying that Scott Walker has had his fun. Scott Walker has gotten his, to use a stupid word, but he's gotten his jollies watching us getting humiliated.
And Scott Walker's having his jollies. You guys went out. The Democratic senators went out. They left the state.
I understand that, but once that happened, Scott Walker saw an opportunity not for healing. He saw an opportunity to jump basically on the back of a fallen man, if you want to talk about the unions being a fallen man. And we're saying now to the governor, if you've had your fun and you like stepping all over teachers such as myself, I have to explain this to my children. I got to explain this to my wife, my students, why it is we went out. And the Republican governor told us basically to drop dead, and now we have to go back to school, and we look like losers.
To put it succinctly, you got a big. I'm not saying you have a big mouth, but you guys collectively had a big mouth.
Well, you know who else had a big mouth? Martin Luther King had a big mouth. You know, John Kennedy had a big mouth. There's a lot of people that have big mouths.
Well, a lot of guys with big mouths are able to make those big words happen. If you got a big mouth and you can't, and now you're asking Scott Walker for a face saver.
You keep using the word face saver, Mr. Henry.
That's what you said to me. At the end of the day, you guys don't want to look like you were a bunch of whining, cheap slobs, is the way you put it. Linda in Vancouver, Washington, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Rob Barnes. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
And I'm sorry.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I have been listening, and I'm sorry, Rob, you did use the exact word, face saver, and whether you use it or not, that is exactly what you are asking for. Mr. Walker, Governor of
what
Wisconsin,
did I use the word face?
Trying to balance the budget. He didn't come
I don't know how I used it. I don't know how I used the word face saver, ma'am. Mr. Henry used it.
You stuck it in there, too. I'm sorry. I've been listening. And you used the word...
I stuck it in there, too.
Right. Regardless, that is what you're asking. And you're asking the governor and the media to lie for you. I'm sorry, but the unions have nobody's concerns but their own. They don't care about you. They don't care about the students. It's become nothing but big business anymore.
We're asking for a continuation of what we had since 1959. And also, you know, you said something there that I forget what it was, but the union, I'm not looking for a handout. What I'm asking for now is that Walker makes it look like he gets, you know, he gave in a little bit. You know,
why don't you want to just use the word?
He's just doing his job. He is trying to balance his budget.
I understand.
Democrats have run out on their obligation to serve the people of Wisconsin, and I hope he issues a bench warrant for each and every one of them for when they step back into the state, because they were getting paid to do a job that they're no longer doing, and I'm sorry.
Don't say that. Please don't say we don't want that to happen. When you articulate that over a broadcast like Mr. Henry's, please don't say that, because now you're going to give Walker even more reason to be a big shot.
Hey.
You're not going to get.
This happened.
You're not going to get Walker.
I was to argue with you, but this already happened in Texas. I lived there when this happened, and they deserved to be arrested when they came back, because they just—it's part of democracy to sit there and argue your point. It's not part of a democracy to run out on your constituents, and that's exactly what
we gotta have. He can't arrest us. I already am going to look. Linda, like an ass in front of my kids.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. Linda, thank you very much. 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More calls for Rob Barnes, who says they need a face saver.
Phil. That's 877-876-7445.
I don't know what you mean by sadism.
I think that Governor Walker's been very sadistic in this process.
All right, we're back here with Rob Barnes on the Phil Hendry Show from Madison, Wisconsin. We're talking about the ongoing conflict in Madison. Rob is a teacher. He's a member of the teachers union. We have not only the teachers, we have notably the lawmakers who are hiding. And you have pretty much laid your cards on the table. You guys need a way to come back so that you don't look like a bunch of losers. You need a way. You need a way offered to you by the governor, Governor Walker.
Well, that's true, because otherwise Governor Walker is exercising some, I don't know what you would want to call it, Bill, some sadistic need to humiliate us. We're out. We don't have a lot of leverage. I talked like a big shot last week, and I still think that we are big shots in our morals. But for this sadism to continue and to continue and to continue, and the Republicans were the ones that talked about, you know, the Nazis. Let me tell you something. Scott Walker and the Republicans right now are acting like a bunch of SS, Nazi camp, concentration SS camp guards in the sadism of the humiliation. And
are you really using that comparison?
Well, I think it was the Republicans that said that Hitler got rid of trade unionism.
No, that wasn't. That was one of your colleagues. That was a Democrat.
No, I'm pretty sure, Phil.
No, it was a Democrat. Why would a Republican say that what their own governor is doing is Hitler? No, that was a Democrat. You guys are reaching for the Hitler stuff. That's fine.
I'm just saying the sadism, they know that they've got us down and they got us beat. What I'm asking from the governor is nothing more than the ability to walk up to my own son, my own daughter, and say, your dad fought the good fight. Look, see, there's the newspaper. Democrats or, you know, anything in the press.
You want the governor of Wisconsin to manipulate the press. You want him to have a headline about something that doesn't exist. You guys want, you want a lot, man. You know.
What do you mean I want a lot? What do you?
You want, first of all, you wanted the governor to cave on this fight over your collective bargaining. Now that he won't cave, now you want him to help you negotiate a face saver to get out of it. Here is Michael in Houston on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
How you doing?
I got a quick comment. I have a lot of direct involvement working with the union, and you know, I go to New Jersey. I travel from Houston to New Jersey, and the unions there require, you know, we can't even plug in our own extension cords. The union, we have to let a union guy do it. They send this guy over that's supposedly an electrician, and he's not really an electrician. He's just a laborer, and they're charging the chemical plant and the refineries for an electrician that's not even an electrician. And, you know,
We're not going to get rid of unions.
You come down to the same face, you know, Governor Walker has no reason at all to do any of what you're asking about saving face and coming in. You know, nobody from the Republican side walked out on Obama when he pushed this health care law. Nobody walked out on Obama.
Did the Republicans leave?
Did the Republicans leave Washington and say, oh, I'm not going to vote on this? No, they didn't. They stayed there. They took their butt with them. And they had a bad attitude about it. The only way that Scott Walker should do anything is if the Democrats came back into the state and said, okay, look, here it is. Let's just get it over with and get it done. Because, look, you lost. And I can guarantee you that the unions
have
a lot to do.
You know, sir, I don't think you understand what unions do. I mean, you got your anecdotal stories about this guy or that guy, but what I want to say is, and yeah, okay, the guy that plugged the thing in wrong. What are you telling me? A guy plugged the plug in wrong, so you don't think he's
union? No. What I'm saying is every time that we go to a union state where they have union workers, the unions are charging for people who are not skilled in the job set that they're in. They send us these guys that they call electricians, and they're not. They're just laborers. But because they're part of the union, my guys cannot touch electricity or water, something that we do in Texas. Just plugging in an extension cord, we can't do it because the unions have said,
"Do
not
do it." You'll electrocute a man. You can't touch water when you're an electrician. You'll electrocute a man. You'll murder.
No. You're not getting my point.
I don't want to talk about unions. Hold on. I don't want to talk. No. Hold on. I don't want to talk about
the unions.
Whether
the reason that we had to sell the car company.
Michael, it's Phil. Hold on. I understand, but I don't want to talk about whether unions should exist or not. You know, I mean, for the purposes of our conversation, let's just admit that they do exist, and they've existed for a long time, and they'll continue to exist in some form or another. But for you to compare, Rob, the Republicans to SS concentration camp guards, that's what you said. And
because that's what I was going to say to this gentleman, Michael. Michael is saying that the governor has no... So in other words, the governor wants to be seen by his own children 20 years from now as a sadist who liked to talk about electricity.
Let me tell you what, he came in, he had a
put electricity
crisis.
On me, all right.
He had a budget crisis, and I guarantee you the teachers aren't going to be the only ones that have to bite the bullet on this. There's going to be other people in other states going through the same thing that Wisconsin is going through, and he doesn't offer you a safe space.
All I'm asking for him to do is to tell the press that he caved a little bit to us. And
well, the press is going to ask the specifics.
He can come up with some dance. You know, you guys want to do everything so that Walker basically leaves us bleeding from the you-know-what. And I don't think I have to explain what part of the body I'm talking about.
I make good money, but I've got guys that work for me that don't, and they have to pay into their medical, and they have to pay in, you know, to everything that you're saying.
Are you
going to
go on about how some guy plugged it in the wrong way? I bet he plugged it in the wrong way.
I didn't say anything about
plugging
it in the wrong way.
No, he didn't know what's wrong with it. But
you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about some guy plugging it in. Ain't that right? You're talking about a guy that plugged it in.
No, what I'm talking about is that because we go to a union state, I cannot plug in a regular extension cord because the union has set rules with
right.
the chemical plant.
Well, okay, but that's exactly what I don't want to talk about. I don't want to get into these union rules, this union rule. I understand what you're saying, Michael, and we can talk about these things till the cows come home, but the fact is we're on to something else.
That's it right there. I would like to change the subject now to what he said. About how?
No, I'm not going to change the subject. We're going to keep the subject. You want to change the subject because the other one you're not winning at.
I don't think it's unusual for me to want to change the subject to something that we've got some leverage on instead of having to sit here and wait like a man who's waiting for the executioner to come by his jail cell door and tell him, you know, it's time and here's the padre, because that's how it feels. And I'm just asking, Walker, is there so much sadism in your soul, Walker, that you can't reach out to the Democrats who you've got underfoot? You've got your foot on our necks. You've got your foot right on our throats. And I'm asking you to let us come in and leak it to the press that we put pressure.
See, you want him to be humiliated.
No, I'm not. He's not going to be humiliated. He's going to get what he wants.
No, you want him, when it comes to the public, to be humiliated, not you. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here is Garrett in Chico, California. Go ahead, Garrett. Garrett in Chico, California. Go ahead. Oh, you know what? I didn't. We got to go remote to Garrett? No, he's... Well, there he is. Garrett, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Phil. Hey, Rob. Hey, I want to ask what you teach, Rob.
What do I teach? I teach everything. I'm a middle school teacher. I teach everything from history to science to social science. I teach health. I teach math. I teach basic. I teach the basic algebra that the kids need when they get into high school. I teach geography. I teach a little bit of physics. I teach you name it.
Okay, so how many students are you currently instructing?
A day?
Yeah.
50 to 60?
Okay, I'd actually like you to rephrase that because currently you're not teaching any. Currently,
well, okay, I'm not here to take a test from you. What's the point? What are you talking about, okay? Let's quit with the fooling around.
My point is...
Well, don't be rude to the guy. The guy's asking you a very good question.
Yeah, I know, but he's giving me a test. I don't like that.
Well, you're the guy that's asking for all these concessions. Go ahead, Garrett.
But you don't like people telling you the truth is what you don't like. You are asking the governor to lie for you so that you can go and lie to your kids. Not only the kids that you teach, which you're supposed to be teaching them morals and values that are honest truths, and now you want to lie to your children.
No, I want to simply be able to say to my kids that I backed the governor down.
That's a lie.
Yeah, but that's a lie. That is a lie.
It's not.
If you teach history, then you must be teaching lies. If everything was recorded the way you want it to be recorded, you'd be teaching lies.
See how dramatic Republicans are. You're very dramatic, sir. You think all Democrats are evil. And talking about...
No, I don't think all Democrats are evil. I think the people that want the truth to be bent so that they look better should not be teaching the children of the United States.
Isn't it worth it to get this thing solved and to get everybody back and working on the same page? If Walker could at least give me a little something, give me...
I think that you should have walked out on your students to begin with.
Right.
I think that you're failing the students
that
you're teaching.
Mr. Hendry, when you go right, that doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does, and I agree with him.
Well, what are you agreeing with?
I'm agreeing with this gentleman. You should have walked out in the first place. This is a serious situation. There are times, you know, like the Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to laugh, a time to cry. This is not the time to be talking about your pension this or your collective bargaining that. This is a time to take a look at the financial problem.
Wait, what do you mean the Bible?
Can I say one last thing?
I don't want you interjecting Christianity into a separation of church and state now. And
come on. Go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have one last thing to say. I have a personal problem with this because the high school that I went to, because the teachers and the district could not come up with a budget, all the teachers were issued pink slips. And because of that, I had 9 different teachers for the first 6 weeks of school in which I didn't get my math, my Algebra 2 to a degree where I could continue on with my education. Now I'm 2 years behind in college. I'm 2 years behind because the teachers want a little something extra. I'm all for everybody having the power for negotiation, but when you have something so important for the students' education under your thumb as the negotiating power, that's just wrong.
I don't understand that you're blaming the fact you flunked out on teachers. They're entitled to have the money, and we're not even getting any money. What I'm asking for now, and next week I'll be asking the governor if he'd at least put, excuse me for putting it this way, but if he'd at least put some Vaseline on it.
Well, that was really intelligent.
Well, why don't you go back to your students and say, hey, we lost this one, but, you know, we thought we were doing the right thing for what we had to do.
Why don't you go back to your students and say... Why don't you go back to your students and say, at least the governor put some Vaseline on it?
You want me to say that to my students? This is the kind of mentality that
I... Well, you said it on a broadcast radio station, okay?
I'm actually working now, so I got
to
go.
Where are you going? No, I want to talk to this guy because I've got...
He hung up.
How do you like that? I've been on a lot of talk shows. I've never had a guy so bored with me that, well, I got to get going now. Man...
Well, you want to know something? Life can be a tough thing when you're not making any sense. And for Rob Barnes tonight, the walls are closing in. He's a union member. The Democratic members of the Senate are out. The people that are protesting Scott Walker in Wisconsin, while they are looking very heroic, fact is they have zero leverage. We'll be back here with our special guest, Rob Barnes, who is looking for some face-saving from the governor. He says that they're beat, but they can't come back in while the sadistic Scott Walker is working. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and more of your phone calls. Next hour, Jay Santos.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Back here on the Phil Henry Show, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us next hour to talk about kids and zero tolerance in school when it comes to violence, when it comes to nonviolence, when it comes to just drawing a stick figure and having someone think you're doing a violent picture. That's crazy. With me as a teacher, it is Rob Barnes from Madison, Wisconsin. And Rob, you're talking about the protests in Madison not favoring, and in Wisconsin not favoring the teachers. What at this point do you want from Walker?
At this point, I mean, we're 1 hour into talking with you, Phil, about what has happened here in the state of Wisconsin. And at this particular time, I would very much like Governor Walker to call my wife and my children and tell them that at least I did a good job, that at least I was, on top of it. At least I was, in other words, I got to get something out of this because by this time next week, it's only going to be worse. We're going to lose the press. We're going to lose the public. People are going to look at me and people like me as we're like homeless or we're slackers. We're bloodsuckers. This didn't turn out the way I wanted to. So if Governor Walker could make that call to my family. And
why would he call your family and not other families?
At this point, Phil, I put my guts on the line. The other teachers and the other union members, whatever they can go their own way, go to whatever way they want to go. I got to get. I can see what's happening here, and I need to get. I need to start getting my ducks in a row.
It's almost like that. It almost reminds me of that scene in The Fugitive, where the inmates go their separate ways, and don't even help each other.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Well, never mind.
I saw The Fugitive. I don't know what you're talking about. But I... Oh, you mean the scene where they left him, Dr. Kimball laying there?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I got to do. I got to leave him laying there in the dirt if I have to.
877-876-7445. Here is Michael in Brandon, Missouri, or Brandon, Mississippi. Michael, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I think what these people are doing are very selfish. You got students who's getting behind, and the only way at this point, if they're not going to go back to work, the governor needs to give them a deadline. If they don't come back by that deadline, he needs to cut them all loose, bring in retired teachers, student teachers, whatever it takes to start teaching those kids.
Well, I think that what you're worried about with the kids, the fortunate thing is that we're talking about a socioeconomic base in Wisconsin that's you're calling from Mississippi, sir. I said it's probably lower than Mississippi, which is not a bad state. But that the per capita income, Wisconsin's worse, I think.
And Wisconsin, what are you saying?
I'm saying the students that we're dealing with are. It's not really a big loss if they're missing a few weeks of school because they're not going to get it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, no, I don't. The students are still getting behind.
Well, they would be getting behind if they were students that had the ability to understand what I'm talking about. But the students I've got are they're almost borderline criminal.
Well, where do you teach?
I teach at a middle school.
Yeah, no, but is it a school for? I don't know. Is it a school for recalcitrant children? Is it a continuation?
No.
Well, then what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that I teach in the state of Wisconsin. We got a lot of low, man, it's low, way, way down there. These people live out in the woods. They live in a condition that Appalachia. And so I go in and I try to knock some sense in them, but I go in there and I try to teach them 2 + 2 = what? Let's get that out of the way. 4. It's a long process. Long process, Mike.
Well, now, it's obvious. A good teacher would put his students first. And if I y'all do. Are not willing to put, if you're not willing to put your students first, it's time for you to go somewhere else.
I do put my students first, but I also cut my losses. I also know when
Mississippi is an at-will state. If I decided to say, I'm not coming into work until you pay me more money, they would call me up and say, come get your stuff, come get your last check.
Well, but okay, so how do you like your educational system there? See, we're working miracles. We're working miracles with these kids that are coming directly from their first job, which is to help dad with the meth lab. And
oh, come on, man. Not all of the students that you're teaching are like that.
I'm telling you that every morning I walk into that classroom, I ask the kids to wash their hands because I don't know what kind of chemicals they got in their hands. They could blow me sky high. And the entire...
Sir,
all right.
Obvious.
We got to take a break. Thank you, Michael. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll have him back on. Don't worry about it. Jay Santos next.
Yeah, but who am I?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I hope he hears me. I hope someone knows I'm here. I suppose they do.
Yeah. The doctor is not for work. There are doctors on the corner.
I have paid the price of my... remaining
I really
here.
Don't get that.
Our boarding is constitutional is a massive hedge.
Wow. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots, by patriots, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that actually knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. That's right, baby. This is the wrong kind of talk radio. This is right-wing radio. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, to learn more. Coming up this hour, we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to be talking about the Arvada, Colorado Police. I don't know where Arvada is either. It sounds like a delightful place, but this is not a delightful story. An 11-year-old boy drawing so-called inappropriate, and I'm quoting, inappropriate stick figures, and the child, 11, taken to jail and handcuffed, and the parents having to deal with that, and not to mention the kid having to deal with that. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be back with Jay Santos in a moment. Just a reminder, we got St. Paddy's Day coming up. That's the next big one, isn't it? You know, well, President's Day, I say big one. We just had President's Day, but St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Not a bad day to roll out a Phil Henry Show shot glass for the one you love. Now, these are not shot glasses that are a tourist stand. These are not shot glasses that you find at the Turnpike, Notion Shop. This is the real deal. 2.5 ounces, perfectly balanced. It's a cordial. It's a long, thin shot. And it has the show logo in three colors, actually, on the front. And it's yours, baby. Just go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, hit shop, S-H-O-P, for the shot, S-H-O-T. Arvada police arrest 11-year-old over inappropriate stick figure drawing. That's what the story says here. Here is the unidentified mother. Now, listen, this 11-year-old boy was arrested and hauled away in handcuffs for drawing stick figures in school. But the therapist that he's seeing told him to do that when he was getting scared or he was getting anxious. Go ahead and draw some pictures. His parents say they understand what he did was inappropriate, but are outraged by the way Arvada police handled the case. The parents did not want their real names used. All right. They say Tim is being treated for attention deficit disorder, and his therapist told him to draw pictures when he got upset rather than disrupt the class. So that's what this little guy did. Here is the unidentified mother talking to Fox Channel 31 News in Denver, Colorado, about this incident.
It was heart-wrenching to see my son walk out my front door, my 11-year-old son walk out my front door in handcuffs and get in that police car. I think it's violently unfair to these little guys, and it's traumatic.
The boy psychiatrist, Dr. Patrick Bacon, doesn't think the police acted appropriately in handcuffing and arresting the kid.
I really don't get that at all. I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like there's any victim to this. He was doing what he thought he should. He's only 11. He's not posing a serious threat to anybody. I mean, that just is bizarre to me that they'd respond this way.
Okay, so what we have here, once again, Jay Sanis joining us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is authority, outside authority, interfering in the upbringing, and I will say it, it is the upbringing of a child, the education of a child. We have a school overstepping, I think, its bounds. This child is on the advice of a psychiatrist. I mean, this whole thing just sounds like a ridiculous screw-up. And if not a screw-up, it sounds like somebody's got a screw loose and, you know, needs to be replaced, or the entire policy obviously needs to be rethought.
I don't doubt, Phil, that sometimes there are a lot of people who've got a screw loose. That is what it goes without saying at the educational level for children. But, Phil, I want to tell you that as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as a person on the front lines of law enforcement, we don't know. Police don't know because police are in a situation where they have other things they got to do. The parents, with all the parents have to do, and, you know, I say with respect, the parents are not really going to look objectively at the kid to find out where his kid is dangerous or what's going on with him. And so what we have proposed is that our auxiliary police service, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we are citizens. We're not a neighborhood watch. We are a cut above that. I'd say we are a cut above probably, you know, regular security police, is that we have at least one Citizens Auxiliary Police officer on campus, so that if we do recognize behavior that is red flag behavior, which is what we would call a takedown or a red flag or a level 3 behavior, that we will take immediate steps to interdict and to make sure that that child is not a harm to himself. He won't make sure he doesn't hurt himself, and he doesn't hurt any other kids. And
you're proposing to put your volunteer, not volunteer, but they are volunteer police, aren't they?
We do not like to put it that way. We don't want to say we're volunteer police because people then think that we are some kind of, you know, they want to put it in a disparaging way. They say we're like rubber bullet cop. We're not a rubber bullet cop at all. We will detain individuals if we feel that they have posed a threat to the community. We are uniform. We wear a blue armband so that we're very clearly seen. And so I don't think that, you know, saying we're volunteer.
Yeah. All right, well, I won't say you're volunteer, but you're not an official police agency.
Well, here again, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to engage in that kind of language, because when you say we're not official and you say that we're a volunteer, people get in their minds that we're some sort of bogus rubber bullet security detail at a, you know, at a department store or something. And that's not what it is.
Well, you explain, Jay.
Well, what we do is we take a look at situations that the police are not handling to the best of their ability, most likely because they're undermanned and don't have the time, and situations that parents are not going to handle well because parents are prejudiced against it.
You know, when you say the parents are prejudiced, what do you mean? The parents aren't going to look?
I mean, they're not going to look objectively at their own kid.
Okay. So you would put a police officer, one of your Citizens Auxiliary Police, on a campus and look at any child that seems to pose a violent risk. Now, let's take a look at this child. His name is Tim, and this is in Arvada, Colorado.
That's correct. And we do have, we've got four different Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have the Boulder Cougars.
Okay, we can get through that, but I wanted to mention here that this young man is in Arvada, Colorado. He is being treated for attention deficit disorder. This is all from last October, by the way.
That's correct, yeah.
So I wonder why we're only hearing about it now.
Well, I think it's the press was not aware of it, or they were sitting on it. They might have been sitting on it. And a lot of times the press will just go ahead and sit right on it. Because they don't want people to be embarrassed. Maybe it's not necessary in terms of the public what the public know about it, and they'll sit down right on top of it and sit on it and sit on it, and then at some point they'll probably get up and let it go, and it'll go get published. But sometimes they will sit forever on a story.
This one says here that Tim is being treated. Last October, he drew a stick figure of himself with a gun, pointed at four other stick figures with the words, "Teacher must die." He felt calmer and was throwing the picture away when the teacher saw it and sent him to the principal's office.
Well, right there, "Teacher must die." I mean, that's a red flag there.
Why would you say that's a red? You know, I got to tell you, when we were kids, all we ever did was mock our teachers. We made fun of. I remember a kid drawing a cartoon of one of our teachers. It was a cartoon of being dragged behind a car. And
I don't know. I know. Did that kid get reported?
No, nobody reported him. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. It was a cartoon. It was a series of panels. This one kid was very talented. And he drew this panel of the teacher chasing somebody, and his shirt gets caught in the trunk of the car. And now this teacher that we all thought was funny is bouncing up and down on the highways as he's being dragged. I mean, it was nothing that we didn't see in cartoons.
That to me sounds like extremely violent. I don't want to comment, Phil. You're saying something that happened a long time ago. This is a boy's teacher must die.
But I'm telling you, is it not normal for children to get that off their chest or get that out of their system, especially when a psychiatrist is asking to?
I'm saying that it is not normal, and I'm saying that with our citizens' auxiliary, I don't know about psychology. You're asking me about psychology. I see an opportunity for citizens' auxiliary police to step in and tell the school, here's something we can do. I don't know what it is you want, but if you want us to observe these kids that are acting, what do you want to call it, weird or squirrely, we take a look at it, size the kid up, look him up and down, and we can do one of two things. We do a takedown, which means we take the child down, we roll him over gently, we do a kid tie, which is it's a fun tie. It's like a hog tie, but we call it a kid tie so the child doesn't get that panicked, and we kid tie it and take it in. We can't do it. Simply an interdiction, which is basically tell a kid, just stand there. Now what's going on with you, doing all this?
Well, what would you stop a child, when you talk about a kid tie, that's to restrain a child.
That is correct, but we don't do that just because a kid's violent. We do it to make sure he doesn't become violent. That's the thing we do, is to be different than other people. You see, we're going to do it so they don't get violent, you see. But any time a child is wearing any kind of violent clothing, it's got a WW, what do you call it? A lot of kids like wrestling, I understand that. But if a kid's wearing a wrestling shirt, you got a problem. If the kid has said that, I'll tell you one thing that we did, Phil, a young man that we saw on a campus over here at Roosevelt, which is up in Redondo Beach, there was a young boy there, I don't want to give his name out, but his name was Jeremy Duncan, but I didn't want to give his name out because of the privacy issue.
And well, you just did give his name out, so...
Well, I did give his name out from the standpoint of they told us, well, it had been reported. In any event, his name was Jeremy Duncan, and he used to make war sounds so realistic that it scared the teachers and the pupils. And so one day...
What do you mean war sounds?
It's the way a little boy is when he plays Army. So this young man was going, I don't know how to do it, Jerry Gleason. That sound like a machine gun, like a machine gun where a kid goes boom, boom, that kind of thing.
Okay.
He did it so well that a lot of teachers got nervous around this kid. So I told the kid to stop because they had brought me out there for Citizens Auxiliary Police review. They wanted to see just whether they could afford us or not. And I said, and we don't ask for money. We just ask for whatever they can spare in terms of kitchen equipment, barbecue, forks, knives, things like that. For our substation. So the kid goes like that. And I said, yeah, that does sound realistic. We did a kid tie. We transported it into the principal's office. And the principal had a talk with it, and it said that it would stop doing it.
You know, we're talking here about children, and we're talking here about the well-being of kids, and you're talking about kids as if they are a ongoing threat that needs a takedown, a hog tie. And this is the thing that bugs the hell out of me, man, when children who, because of the paranoia surrounding and the lack of education, too, that's the part that really drives me nuts, the lack of education on the part of some people, these kids are treated like criminals. And this little boy with the stick figures arrested?
Well, Phil, I would have done the same thing. You don't know.
You'd arrest a kid who was told by his teacher to draw these things if he got nervous.
I'd have to do the same thing. If a child has drawn something that says teacher must die, you have to at least put the child into some kind of restraint and then sort it out. That's what I'll do. I don't want to take the kid to prison, but if he puts a picture down that says teacher must die, there's a stick figure, and he's making gun, you know, he's making a gun noise like that one boy did, you know, he's going, you know, just
No, I understand what you're saying.
So I would have to, at that particular point, put him into some kind of a restraint and perhaps a 24 to 40-hour hold.
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. Our number is 877-876-7445. Children and their behavior in school. And how do we know whether it's violent or if it's just therapeutic? This boy who was drawing a stick figure with the caption, teacher must die, was simply doing, he was sort of going through a little therapy that the psychiatrist told him to, and he gets arrested. And Jay Santos agrees with that. I don't. I don't agree with any kind of police activity with kids who are drawing pictures. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Because I don't believe
that's
in that, you know.
877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. And, Jay, it's just a matter of the long arm of the law. You call it what you want. Every possible facet of our lives. Now the behavior of children. A child that just went to a psychiatrist. Do you understand how destructive this is? That a psychiatrist said to the child, if this helps you in dealing with your anxiety, then draw it. And he gets taken to jail.
Phil, I've been out there. I've been on the playgrounds. I've been in the classrooms. I've seen these kids who can put the fear of you-know-who into teachers and other students. I'll give you an example. You know, we're walking on a playground, and I see a kid there who is, I've been on a playground over here at Roosevelt, which is right over here in Redondo Beach, the same place we got this young boy, Jeremy, when he was going, you know, boom, bang, 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 and all that. Here's a kid eating a, look like a Hostess, what do you call it, ding-dong? I don't know what it is. It's the
Like a Hostess Twinkie.
It's one of Twinkie. It was not...
Well, a Hostess cupcake or something.
No, it wasn't that either. It was a ding-dong. I'm sorry. It's one of the chocolate. And the reason why I say it is because that's got chocolate icing, and so it's got the whipped cream, and I immediately became concerned because that was sugar, and the child was wearing a WWE shirt. So that's a violent representation with the sugar what's going in, and I've got to make a judgment call, and that judgment call said to me, takedown. So I've got to put that kid flat on his stomach as gently as we can. We got to get him in, take him into an area. Sometimes I'll have a janitor's closet or an office or something where you can interrogate the child in a way that's not going to, you know, scare him or anything.
And well, I would think the kid would be scared enough, man, being taken and tied because he's eating a Twinkie or whatever it was.
Well, you said it was a Hostess ding-dong. The reason why I'm making a differentiations is the sugar content.
Okay, fine. I mean, whether it's a that or something else, and then he's wearing a wrestling shirt, and you say, this looks like an interdiction, I don't get that, man. I don't see that. I understand sugar. Believe me when I tell you I understand sugar and kids, they love it. Here is Chris in Chicago on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Phil. I want to know if this guy's got any deputized powers, if he has anything that he's allowed to arrest people or what. Is there anything...
Well, yes, I do. We have the Well, obviously the Constitution gives us the powers of citizen's arrest, and the laws in different states they're different. But if you see a situation happening,
Oh, you're full of it. If you try to...
No, I'm not. Have you read the law? You're asking me because you didn't know. You asked me because you didn't know, so that's why you asked me. And the state laws say...
Old guys that would go after little kids, tie them up, make a little trip to the bathroom, have a little fun with them, and then take them to the principal's office.
Well, maybe that's what happened to you when you were a kid. Is that what happened to you when you were a kid? Because that's not what
you do. Yeah, you're trying to pull up my history. I don't think so. What are you, a little pedophile? You have to register.
Well, that's where... See where your mind goes? Look where your mind goes. You immediately go to a guy touching you.
All right,
let's talk about it. Let's talk about this whole thing of being on the playground. Hold on. Let's talk about the thing. Are you allowed to be on the playground?
Yeah, school said that we could look over the situation.
All right, you're looking over the situation, but did the school tell you go ahead and take down any kid that you're concerned with?
The school said they wanted to see me in action. So I gave them some action. If you're looking at a kid who is sucking down sugar at the rate of
his wife,
You hog tie my wife. Now I doubt if you're going to see the sunset that day. You want to go high to hog tie my wife? You ain't even going to see the sun go down that day.
How would you like to play? A grocery store. You look at a bikini or something, thinking, "Oh, this guy's weird. He might do something."
Yeah, everything you're saying tells me more about you than me. Tells me more about you than me. I think you look at a zucchini and you go, "Oh, my first grade teacher."
All right, thank you very much. 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, I'm going to answer questions from people who want to talk. You know, like they're, you know, like they got, you know, educated and everything like that. I'm not going to talk to some guy that's can't get over the fact that some old man who lives behind him showed him what it's all about.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Showed him what it's all about. Phil Hendry.
Oh my God.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
More of your phone calls coming up, 877-876-7445. You're giving me these scenarios here. Jay Sanis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on how do we spot a child that is potentially a problem in terms of violent behavior, and how do we differentiate between that child and this poor kid in Arvada, Colorado, who was simply drawing stick figures that were saying, "Ooh, I'm going to kill teacher." Like, kids haven't said that before.
I sure didn't hear Van Halen. Let me tell you one thing, Mr. Henry. I never heard Van Halen say, "I won't kill teachers. I want to do it to her." I forget how the song goes. They said, "I want to climb all over her," or whatever.
And I'm hot for teacher.
What is that?
That's the song you're talking about?
Oh, the Van Halen song, yes, sir. And I never heard Van Halen say, "I'm going to gut teacher." I mean, it's insane. And
come on, man. You know that kids... So, all right. I want to get to some more phone calls.
Well, I was going to tell you about when we stake out, because that last guy was so... Excuse me for saying that. The last guy was so stupid. I don't know where to begin on describing what's wrong with him. But I was standing in a classroom at a middle school in Alhambra doing a... just surveying the class. And there was a kid giving a report. He stood up. He's wearing a pair of camo pants. Okay, a little bit of red flag, not that bad. But then he stood up to give a report on his dad in Afghanistan. Right there, I've got to make a decision. And a decision I made was to firmly but gently take the kid by both arms, and I nodded to the teacher. She knew what I was doing. And we immediately went into interrogation mode because you don't understand.
You took a kid who was talking about what?
about it. Before you get indignant, Mr. Henry.
No, I want to know. The kid was wearing camo pants, and he was talking about what?
He went into a report about his father in Afghanistan. All right. Was his father in the Army? Was his father a Marine? I never heard. Is he? I don't think he was. Was he a war criminal?
Well, was his father in the Marines or the Army?
I did not hear. I did not want to go that far. We had to begin to...
So, in other words, you took this boy out of that classroom, began to interrogate this child with the school's permission before he even got his story out about what his father did in Afghanistan, which most likely was his dad was a soldier.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, you never let the kid say anything. I'm telling you, Mr. Santos, I do not think... This hyper-monitoring of kids has done these kids any good at all. I think it's making them crazier.
By the way, Mr. Henry, I say this, I'm a Brigadier Admiral with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry if I didn't address you by your rank, but I'm trying to get to some larger issues here. 877-876-7445. Nathan in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
I'll tell you what, I'm a parent of four boys. 7531. This guy here on the phone, this guy sounds crazy. I'm sorry, but he doesn't need to be anywhere near kids.
Well, I don't really sound crazy, but I'm trying to keep it. What's that?
Camel pants? Are you serious? I mean, that's a red flag to wear camel pants?
No, it wasn't. It was a red flag when the kid had camel pants. He starts launching into descriptions of military operations in Afghanistan.
Yep. No, he was talking about his father.
You didn't even let him get far enough to tell him the class whether his dad was in the Army, the Marines, or whatever. I mean, if that guy, that kid's dad,
how long
am
I supposed to wait? How long do we wait before the kid does something violent?
Oh, you got to be kidding!
Violent.
How long do we
He's
wait?
Probably proud of his father, that his father's over there, risking his life to secure freedom for us and other people across this world. And you're going to red flag him. You have got a problem, buddy. You're not going to be anywhere near kid.
Well, first of all, sir, it is debatable whether his father is protecting freedom or not.
Whoa. Don't even go there, because if you're going to start in on the politics, boy, you're way out of bounds, okay?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm just saying, okay, so he started in talking about military operations.
How did you know it was about his dad?
Because the teacher told me later.
The teacher told you later, so the boy did not even get out of his mouth what it was he was talking about. In your interrogation, the child didn't say anything?
No, he did not. So, I don't know what that's another red flag. What's he hiding?
Maybe you don't know how to talk to kids.
Mr. Henry,
anywhere near kids. I mean, you made the comment earlier about making war sounds and machine gun sounds. That is normal, buddy. That is normal for kids to,
I understand. I understand that. But this boy was doing it so realistically that the teacher...
Oh, give me a break.
Frightened.
You ever watch Police Academy? Maybe he's the next, imitator like that guy in Police Academy.
You mean the black guy that could make the sound of a dog fighting a cat?
Get out of here.
I'm talking about a kid who was making... I mean, I can't even do it that good. He was going like...
So what? Well, he did it good. The point is, you are crazy. You are mentally unstable. And you do not need to be anywhere near kids. If I was a parent in that school district, I'd be all over you.
Well, what's that mean? You'd be all over me?
I'd be all over the school. I'd be finding out why they've got you in there. I mean,
no kidding.
A
WWE I'd like to know the names of
shirts. I mean, since when is that a problem?
Well, first of all, you see, that's the reason why I do what I do and you don't. I'm looking at a kid who's siphoning down sugar by the second while wearing a shirt that celebrates some guy with a crease in his head. You look at these wrestlers, they look like their skulls have been caved in multiple times, and this kid thinks that's cool while he's siphoning, the cream right out of the center of one of those, ding-dong. That's what the kid was doing, Mr. Henry.
What kind of a childhood did you have, man?
I had a normal childhood. I went to work when my dad, my father, was arrested. My father got arrested for running dog fights over here in Pico Rivera. And I didn't see my father for a long time, so I was mostly with my mom and then with her boyfriend.
And
boy, you know, you're not telling a story of a childhood that I would want anyone to have.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean,
your father got arrested for running dog fights in Pico Rivera.
Well, you're laughing about a young man whose father goes to prison?
Well, no, you're just saying you had a normal childhood. Your dad's in prison. Your mom's got boyfriends. That's not normal. That's not good.
Well,
I mean, did you have any good male role models in your life? I mean,
if I tell you that, then that last guy is going to call up and call me gay, and you know, like he did.
All right, look, very good questions. I got to take a break, or got to run onto another caller, sir. But I appreciate that very much. That's Nathan in Chattanooga. Our number is 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't mean to to criticize.
No, not at all. You just basically said that my childhood was some sort of a. What are you trying to say?
You said you had a normal childhood. Your father goes to jail for running dog fights in Pico Rivera. Is that right?
Yeah. I know that dog fighting is illegal, Mr. Henry. I know it's bad. But my father's a good man and taught me about respect for the law. He taught me respect for the law. All right, he taught me respect for the law except for the dog fighting. That was the only part that he...
That's the only part of the law he didn't teach you respect for, huh?
I'm simply saying that man and the little boy should have said, I want to talk about my father in Afghanistan. Instead, he goes, in Afghanistan, he's all good in military and everything. He's a kid. And I'm thinking, if anybody should be talking like that, it should be an adult. And he's talking like he's all, armied up. I don't know.
877-876-7445. Let's go up here to Debbie in Tucson. Debbie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I just want to say that this guy on the phone needs to be checked out by CPS, period, okay? You should not be around kids. You are a threat to kids, and CPS needs a copy of this radio show and just listen to him talk, because there is no way he should be around anybody's child.
If you were a teacher, then you'd have the kid. You would have had that kid taken in by the cops because he drew a stick figure. So who's worse,
I don't care about your stories and how you do kids. From what I hear, you have some issues. Have you been fingerprinted even to be around kids?
Excuse me, what have I done that's illegal? I'm not answering your question. Have I been fingerprinted? I bought a house. You have to be fingerprinted when you buy a house.
You're around people's kids, and you haven't even been fingerprinted, and they haven't done a background check on you?
Have you? What's that supposed to mean? What have I done that's illegal?
Well, let's talk about you taking a kid and putting him on the ground because he's eating a Twinkie.
Mr. Henry, and this lady probably didn't hear. You didn't hear. The kid had one of those. The reason why I said he had a Hostess Ding Dong is because those have a cream center. And the kid he wasn't eating the chocolate, he wasn't eating the cake, he was sucking the cream right out of the middle of it. And right away, that was a red flag.
Why is that a red flag, man? Are you kidding?
It's a rule world. You guys are all rule book? Who's rule book are you going by?
Are you telling me that's normal? That's a child that needs sugar so bad, he's sucking the cream filling right out of the middle of the ding dong.
Okay, listen, what type of training did you get to do your job?
Why don't you get a better phone? I can't understand what she's saying.
I can understand her fine.
What
was the question?
What kind of training did you get?
First of all, we are self-trained. Citizens Auxiliary Police is self-contained. We're self-contained. All right? We train ourselves. That's what we do. Because we're not interested in the politics.
The school district lets you around kids, and you have no formal training?
Well, ma'am, just like the phone company lets you use a phone, even though I can't hear you. I mean,
school district is this that's allowing you around kids?
The Crumpton School District, right over here in
what?
The Crumpton School District, it's over in Brennan.
I can't understand you.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Say it louder.
It's the Brennan School District. It's right over in Pumpkin.
Okay, because
can you hear?
I hope somebody understood what you said so they can turn you into CPS.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. I worked at the Lennon School District in Parblin.
In Parblin?
I didn't say that. I said Brownlin.
Brownlin?
No.
You know, ma'am, you are so intent on people in jail.
Whoever in the city, whoever knows, needs to turn you into
security. We were able
serious.
To interrogate the kid in a janitor's
this
closet.
This radio station needs to take some responsibility and turn you into before somebody's child gets hurt. Because you are
you
honestly
a good reason why.
Have some mental issues. You lack common sense. You do not have any common sense, and you do not need to be around anybody's child.
I think you're very wrong.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Debbie. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll put Jay on hold for just a minute. A man who, Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, agrees with the Arvada, Colorado police. They arrested a little boy because he drew stick figures, one of which said, "I'm going to kill teacher." Now, the child was told to draw these stick figures by a psychologist if he got scared or nervous. That's what he did. He felt better. He threw it away. That night, he's arrested. 877-876-7445. We're trying to make some sense out of this crazy, mixed-up, strange-ass world. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show coming up next hour is our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And welcome back with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on controlling potentially violent children in grade school, middle school. These are small kids. Is there some kind of an indicator? Is there some way that we can tell a kid is going to be violent? Well, I don't know, but... Mr. Sanos, you're saying, or Brigadier Admiral Sanos, you are saying that, yes, you can, if the kid is eating the cream out of a Twinkie. I mean, you're giving a lot of...
No, you're making it sound a little ridiculous, Mr. Henry. What I'm trying to...
Well, you're the one who said that it's an indication the kid has a sugar fix if he's sucking the cream out of the interior of a Twinkie.
That's correct, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you do see a lot of kids do that. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But then put that together with the fact that a kid has on the WWE, now you got yourself a problem. And a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I can't have a problem like that. I can't afford, like you can afford, and your audience can afford, and a lot of people listening tonight, maybe people who were listening yesterday or tomorrow, they can all afford it. I can't afford it. One mistake by me, and you're going to see a lot of, I can't go in it because it'll turn your stomach, what will happen. So one mistake by me, you'd never stop being sick.
I doubt it, sir. I doubt it.
Why you say you doubt it?
I just doubt it. I'm sorry. 877-876-7445. Here is Patrick in Portland, Maine. Go ahead, Patrick. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? First of all, I doubt it myself. I just want to reiterate, like a couple other people said.
You tell them I doubt it, but I'm the one living it. I live it.
Okay, let's let this man talk, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, the previous caller, that woman there, she kind of got to the point that I'd like to get to is, what state is this happening in?
I'm in the state of California.
Out in California? Is it a public or is it a private school?
I'm not at liberty.
What do you mean you're not at liberty?
Yeah, I don't want to hear you're not at liberty.
What do you mean you're not at liberty?
Came out on national TV, so...
I take it back. I shouldn't have done that. You're right.
Well, the school you described is a public school, so because I know the school. So let's just say it's public and some are private.
You don't know that.
I do. You mentioned the school.
Yeah, well, point I want to make, Phil, is that if this guy is doing this in a public school, it couldn't happen because, there's just so many... rules nowadays. They're not going to let some guy stand there with an op or wearing a WWF shirt. You know what I mean?
Well, sir, I love the way you guys laugh when it comes to a kid that might be violent.
You can't say that. And I just think it's so asinine ever since Columbine and maybe before that every little twitch, every little raised eyebrow, every little finger that's moved the wrong way, every little paranoid adult, every these poor kids are under the gun, and this child was doing what the doctor told him to do. Can you imagine that? This child was doing what the doctor said and he still got arrested?
Mr. Henry, we're not perfect, but we're trying to prevent a kid like that from possibly taking a automatic weapon in there. You're going to have millions dead. Or not millions,
sir,
but you're going to have a lot of people dead.
How many people are in this citizens' police patrol that you have?
It's called Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have approximately 20 sub-commanders.
Okay, and, I mean, is this sponsored by the police department, or...
I don't really like answering a lot of questions about what we do because we're getting.
Well, then what are you on the radio for then?
Because I called up Mr. Henry and asked him if I could comment on this situation with a kid with a stick figure. And Mr. Henry said yes.
Yeah, I'm glad I did say yes, because I'm finding out that you're going out there and you're hawking your services to public schools as a guy that can prevent violence, and because a kid was wearing an armband and talked about Afghanistan, you made the assumption he was a security risk and went and interrogated him in a janitor's closet, which, by the way, if I'm the parent of that kid...
Oh, here we go again with I'm a perv. You know, you guys really got to clean it up.
Because
Henry happened to take...
Yes, sir.
I just want to say one more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
There's no way this guy could be in a public school because that's all funded by the federal government. And just, I believe it was just last week, there was a teacher that said some stuff on Facebook about our students, and it made national news. And if this guy takes down a kid in a classroom in a public school that taxpayers pay for, this guy's going to prison. Bottom line,
sure.
I believe he's full of crap, and none of the
kids
need to do any of this.
You know what? You're saying that, sir, because I know how to keep our operations and the things we do quiet. I don't go running around to Facebook and put stuff on there.
You don't have to go to run around to Facebook. If you're in a public school, there's plenty of people that are going to be talking about it. I believe you're full of it. And this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
You asked me
a question.
I'd rather not comment. See, that's why I told that guy I'd rather not comment on it. I said, I don't want to dignify the ant, you know, I'm not going to dignify it. And he got all upset. That's what I usually say. I'll say, I'd rather not comment or I won't dignify.
And what does that do?
That means I'm not putting information over there what's going to be on Facebook and everything. Yeah, figure it out.
Don't talk to me like that, okay?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, you asked me these questions. You know, it should be obvious.
Rose, we got about 40 seconds. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that man is psycho. He is abusing children,
what?
And he is doing a volunteer job to justify it. He is a power-hungry
pervert.
Abuser.
Pervert? Am I a pervert?
Very, very likely that he's a pervert.
Okay.
Very likely if he's going to interrogate a child in a janitor's closet.
All right, what if I said I wanted to interrogate you in a janitor's closet? Does that make me a pervert or just I'm attracted to you?
Oh, God. Ooh, don't even answer that. Rose, thank you very much for your very succinct and on-target comments.
Phil
next hour of the News Hour, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I have paid the price of my...
We're not handing out anything. We're assessing people and, you know, doing stuff appropriately.
It's heart-wrenching to see my son walk out my front door.
I hope he hears me. I hope someone knows I'm here.
Bring out the
burn in hell.
Yeah. World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m.
Burn in hell.
On the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for patriots, by patriots. And truth is our bitch on this show. You know, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and so they don't. And that's just where that is. And join us online at philhenryshow.com. If you don't have a backstage pass, get one. There are thousands and thousands of hours of archive material there. It isn't just the shows that we do now that are podcasts the next day. You can get this show if you missed it, or any show if you miss it, by way of podcast at iTunes. You can also listen to our classic Phil podcast. These are select bits from our archives. You can access our news feed, comment on our news feed, get email response from Phil Hendry, which is the only way to reach me directly, and I do respond to the email myself. So this is why you know, we get a backlog, and I mentioned this, people saying, have you ever met, you know, do you know what it is for, like, the real guy to answer his own email? Because I'm telling you, it's brutal, but I have committed myself to that task, even if it kills me. Well,
you don't have nobody doing it for you?
No, I don't have nobody doing it for me. So that's Bud Dickman. By the way, this is our news hour. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. Coming up this hour as well, Vernon Dozier is going to be on with us. He is a high school basketball and football coach at Belmar Academy. He's going to be talking about a story of a coach that was apparently abusing one of his players, you know, doing that real hard-ass kind of coaching where, hey, come on, you know, get up and bang, slugging the guy and stuff like that. The dude lost his job. He's also now going to be investigated by the DA. Just exactly how soft do we want our kids to be? I understand you don't want the teacher beating them up. Muammar Gaddafi, for some reason, I'm just fascinated with this guy.
What were that place he was in today?
He was in, I just found out from Rance, Muammar Gaddafi was in a palace that was bombed by the United States in the 80s when Ronald Reagan ordered airstrikes. And President Reagan ordered those airstrikes after it was discovered that the Libyans were the ones that placed a bomb in a German discotheque that killed two U.S. soldiers. See, now that was Ronald Reagan.
Man, that's kicking ass.
That was Ronald Reagan. What'd you do? Well, it's just killed two American servicemen, really. Well, guess what? And we found out about Lockerbie. So we went directly after Gaddafi. We tried to kill him. So let's not make any mistake about that. And nobody said a word. No one in the United States, nobody was heard from saying, oh, you know, that's against international law. No. We got a guy in a jet. You guys, you go down there, see? Uh-huh. And you know where he live, right? Kill him. Yes, sir. And we raked this place that he lives in. I don't know, some Bedouin tent. What was it, bud?
No, it ain't no tent at all. It's like a building.
I thought he lived in a tent.
Yeah, me too.
Don't those guys travel around with camels and tents?
No, man. A guy runs a whole Libya country of the country.
Well, anyway, he spoke behind a podium in the entrance of his bombed-out Tripoli residence that was hit by U.S. airstrikes in the 1980s and left unrepaired as a symbol of defiance. And now, it's not the United States he's got to worry about. It's his own people. Muammar Gaddafi is a relic of the 1960s Marxist, Maoist politicos of the Middle East. He is a relic of the old Arab states that were client states of the Soviet Union. He is a relic of the old Ba'athist, you know, that Nasser pan-Arabic revolutionary movement. Muammar Gaddafi is not an Islamist. Forget, don't even go there. He's not. He's a guy that at times found Islam useful. But even in the speech he gave, he said, you know, I'm warning you against these Islamists who are trying to take over our country. So, and then he also knocked the United States. He said, no, I'm not going to let the United States come in here and kick our ass either. So at least Muammar Gaddafi knows what the reality is. He knows which side of the bread the butter's on. He knows that it's either his own people or it's Islamists or it's the United States, but his ass is gone. It's a far, far, you guys don't even know. You younger listeners, you have no idea how amazing this is to someone of my age. Because when I was in high school, it was the Six-Day War. It was a pan-Arabic movement led by Nasser that had one goal in mind and only one goal in mind, and that was the eradication of Israel. And when they couldn't do it by way of war, when Israel wound up kicking the ass of about five different countries, I mean, can you imagine that? When Israel said, hey, excuse me, you guys have jets, and you're saying you want to wipe us out, and you cats are, like, getting ready to kick our ass. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to get up early one morning. We're going to fly into Egypt. We're going to take out your entire air force before you jackasses even have breakfast. And by the time we get back to Israel, you got no more air force. Ha, 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 ha.
Is that what they did, man?
Yes, that's what they did.
Yeah, I read a story about how they woke up one day and then they went and did it.
Well, they did it. I mean, it was a very ugly time. So anyway, make a long story short, this is a completely different Middle East. This is not a Middle East that is PLO, 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 PLO. It's Yasser Arafat, Yasser Arafat. I mean, that's what I grew up with. That's what I lived with my whole life, Yasser Arafat and his line of horse dung. Entebbe. The Meinhof, what were they called?
Bader Meinhof.
Yeah, that Red Guard, that Red Army in Germany, bunch of commie terrorists from Germany. The Red Army in Japan, a bunch of commie terrorists from Japan. Oh, man, it was crazy, baby. And not only that, Munich had taken place. Munich. And then the Mossad sent their guys out, and we had gunfights in the Athens airport, and there were gunfights in the Rome airport. And it was unbelievable. You have no idea. And it was Palestine, 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 until you wanted to throw up. And all of a sudden, what has happened? All of a sudden, Palestine, America, Israel, we don't even have anything to eat. We don't have jobs. We're looking at you guys walking around in bed sheets all day long, driving these Mercedes with your racehorses and your gold toilets. And Gaddafi there with his goofy-looking headrests when he goes out and sits in his Bedouin tent with his 15 wives. What the hell are you guys doing, man? We're looking on TV, and we're watching the people of Iran doing their thing. We look on TV, we see America pulling down Hussein's statue. We look on TV, and we see the Egyptian people doing their thing. Screw this. You talk about Palestine. We'll talk about Palestine when you guys start spreading some of the wealth around a little bit here. That's what's going on.
Pretty interesting, man.
I'm telling you, it's a complete flip of what happened for many, many years that I saw. Gaddafi, meanwhile, who's a relic, he's saying he's going to fight to the last drop of blood. What the hell is he, you know? The speech by the Libyan leader who shouted and pounded his fists on a podium was an all-out call for his backers to impose control over the capital and take back other cities. After a week of upheaval, protesters backed by defecting army units have claimed control over almost the entire eastern half of Libya's 1,000-mile Mediterranean coast, including several oil-producing areas. Gaddafi said, "You men and women who love Gaddafi, get out of your homes and fill the streets. Leave your homes and attack them in their lairs." This guy's using, like, Saddam Hussein era language. He's using old pan-Arabic language. He's using old school, the Zionists this and the Americans that. Celebratory gunfire by Gaddafi supporters rang out in the capital of Tripoli after the leader's speech. While in protest held Benghazi, Libya's second largest city, people threw shoes in contempt at a screen showing his address. State TV showed a crowd of Gaddafi supporters in Tripoli's Green Square raising his portrait and waving flags as they swayed to music after the address. Residents contacted by the Associated Press said no anti-government protesters ventured out of their homes after dark, and gun-toting guards manned checkpoints with occasional bursts of gunfire heard throughout the city. So Tripoli, it sounds like, is you know...
Well, I thought they said that they have one half of the country.
If they got, like, army units in in the other half of the country, what's the army in that part?
Like the army split. Seems like the army is split down the middle. Some of them have defected with the people, and some of the Air Force, the Libyan Air Force, I heard they were defecting. International alarm arose over the crisis, which sent oil prices soaring to the highest level in more than 2 years. We got oil now over $100 a barrel, folks. More to the point, if you'll pardon me for saying it. I mean, but, you know, more to the point. The oil is expensive. And obviously, I don't know who's running the show. Here is a defiant Muammar Gaddafi saying he will leave Libya a martyr.
I have paid the price of my remaining here. My grandfather has fell martyr in the war before. It's not possible that I leave this place. I will... be a martyr at the end.
All right, cool. So was Hitler. I hate to make the Hitler...
Yeah, Ben's making a Hitler comparison.
Well, I mean, that was Hitler stayed in Berlin, didn't he? All right. All right, when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, maybe a little bit more about Mahomar. We got that terrible, terrible New Zealand earthquake that I was going to talk about yesterday, and I got off on talking about how to roast pig in the sand. What the hell is wrong with me? And also, the state of Wisconsin begins reviewing excuse notes for protesters, so you might have gotten an excuse note from the doctor, but guess what? Now they're going to take a look at it, and the doctor that gave it to you, he may not be practicing medicine in Wisconsin anymore. How about that? World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio 877-876-PHIL. By Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is our news hour of Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We got Vernon Dozier on the line. Mr. Dozier, a football coach, high school football coach, as well as a science and health teacher and math teacher and a member of the board at Belmar Academy. And Vernon, how are you tonight?
Hey, real good, Phil.
We have here the story of a Pennsylvania college, Holy Family University men's basketball coach. He's been suspended after a player filed a police report because he claims he was assaulted during January practice. In a video of the incident, Matt Kravchuk, a sophomore at the school in Philadelphia, can be seen getting knocked to the ground and later being the target of an obscenity-filled tirade from Coach John O'Connor. And Kravchuk told Fox News in Philadelphia, "We're just doing a drill. The next thing I know is on the floor. I landed on my wrist. I was bleeding from my mouth." The video shows the coach berating his player afterward. The coach says, quote, "Got a little effing blood on you. Good. Hey, get the F out of here. Get the F out of here." The university said O'Connor was suspended last Thursday, pending the outcome of an internal investigation, but they're not the only ones investigating. The Philadelphia DA is now investigating. It's interesting and I think a little sad that the young man who is accusing the coach, and it might very well have merit, but nonetheless, he's opening his mouth. He gets to talk to the media. He gets to talk. He's the guy that puts it all into a lawsuit if that's what he's going to do. And, of course, the coach is probably told not to say anything.
Well, there's no, I don't think there's any doubt that the head coach, this coach here, most likely has taken advice of counsel.
And by that, what? Not speaking?
Yeah, you don't talk after something like that. Even though, as you just said, Phil, it's catch 22. You want to say what happened to you, and you want to be able to defend yourself. I've had similar situations. I've had to work this out with parents. I've had to work this out with relatives, where you have a team.
Are you talking about the high school level now?
No, I coached at college level. I coached at junior college, I coached at community college level. And I had players, I had team members. But I coached at all levels. And one of the most intense situations I got into is when one of my players, and it was a group of players, so I was coaching football. It wasn't basketball, but football is a contact sport. And when you are in practice, you are going to have some scrums and some tempers start to flare, because especially in two-a-days, and especially when you're working out in pads, you really have them go at it. And, of course, players can run the risk of getting injured, but you want to see what your players can do. And I have been in situations like that where I've grabbed the helmet of some of these kids, and I have grabbed the helmet and I've said, "Now you listen to me. Now, you're going to run the play the way I told you, or you're going to do what I told you, or I'll tear," and you say things that you don't mean, "I'll tear your head off inside this helmet." I mean, there will be a head, and there will be a helmet around it, and I'll just throw it into a dumpster. And I won't think any more about that than if I were throwing the wrapper on a twinkle or what they call the cupcakes.
You mean Hostess Twinkie?
Yeah, you were just talking about it, yeah. And I've said that to them because we've got a big game coming up. I've had big, big games. And this particular team that I was coaching this year, we had a huge game coming up. This was going to be for a piece of the championship in our division. And then we were going to have a playoff. And I had my players assembled on a Thursday. And I said, "We're doing pads." And we worked and worked and worked and worked. And it was a particularly hot day for December, but that's kind of the way it is in California. And I had a couple of players going at it, and I took the helmet off of one of the players, and I gave him a shot with my right hand, I mean right between the eyes, knocked him back. The other one, I went at him with the left hand. I mean, I knocked out two of my players. I didn't knock them out, but I put them on their backside, and I almost broke both their noses because I was not getting the intensity I wanted out of them.
Well, what? Okay, so that's very interesting. Nobody went to the police?
No.
Nobody went to a lawsuit?
No one, because I... You see, when you explain what it is you want, when you tell them, I'm not doing this because I get my thrills hurting people. I'm doing this because I want you to be a champion. But I've done it to one kid on a football team that we'd had. We had pretty much won the state championship, but I had to take it was like a dumbbell, and I slammed it into the back of this kid, busted two ribs. Like, he made me so mad. And I said, you're going to start to cry? And he started to give me that face like he was going to cry. Is he going to cry? But we won the championship. He came through. He played with busted ribs, but came through.
He broke his ribs.
Yeah. And lawsuit? No. Police? No. Was he a baby about it? No, he wasn't. You know why? Because I sat them down later and I said, here's why I brutalized you. I brutalized you because I want you to be a champion. That year, Phil, was the third consecutive statewide Pop Warner championship that we won for 10-year-olds. And I couldn't have done that if it's...
Hold on for a minute. 10-year-olds.
Yes, 10. It was Pop Warner. I told you it was Pop Warner. And, oh, you're going to make a big deal out of that, huh? Let me tell you something, Phil.
Wait. Are you telling me you busted two 10-year-olds in the face, slammed a barbell into the back of another kid? They're 10?
Don't start. I told you that I sat down with these kids and asked them, you want to take me to the law? And they're all, no, Coach Dozier. I said, okay. Enough said.
Did the parents come and talk to you?
I explained it to the parents. I said, look, why is this all of a sudden? You were admiring me about 2 minutes ago. What happened?
I thought you were talking, for some reason, I thought you were talking about college level or, I don't know, maybe, seniors in high school or something, which is bad enough. I didn't know you were talking about Pop Warner.
So you're saying because they're 10, I'm not supposed to, oh, boy. I mean, when are we going to stop babying these kids?
Well, they're 10-year-olds, man. I see a big difference between a 10-year-old kid and, let's say, even a freshman or a sophomore in a high school program. I see a big difference between a 10-year-old kid and a community college program. Don't you?
Don't I what?
Don't you see a difference between a 10-year-old boy that you just slugged? I can't believe it, man. And I can't believe that the parents didn't have anything to say to you.
I punched that kid right between the eyes with a closed fist. And then I looked at him. I said, you want some of me? And the kids all, of course he's going to say no.
Well, it's not about him wanting some of you. It's about whether they're going to be a cop showing up on your doorstep and arresting you.
There's no cop that's going to arrest me. I'm Fernando. Do you know that they named the stadium after me? You're aware of that, right? I mean, I know you've been in... This conversation makes me think you've been asleep.
I'm not asleep.
Well, you knew they named the stadium after me.
Yeah, I heard they named the stadium after you last year.
All right. What else do you need to know?
So, in other words, they named the stadium after... That's the high school stadium. That was you coaching a high school team.
That's right.
So this has got nothing to do with Pop Warner, where you belted two kids and almost busted their noses by your own admission and slammed a barbell into a kid and busted his ribs.
And he played like a champion. In the championship of the Pop Warner of all of California. Oh, man. I have to tell you, we've never won both divisions in high school. We won Southern Section, but we've never won statewide. We won Southern Section, but never won statewide. But I won statewide with Pop Warner. I guess you think that's sissy.
Yeah, I do. I think it's real sissy. Who cares after punching a kid?
Who cares after punching a kid? There, that's what you sounded like to me.
You're a baby.
You're a baby.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
We'll be right back, folks.
Phil Hendry. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, as we said at the outset of the show tonight, you know, you really want to have your fingers on the pulse of what's happening in the country. What is it the people need? What is it the people want? What is it the people, what direction do we want to go in as a city, as a state, as a country? Is there a place better than San Francisco in figuring those things out? Probably. No, I mean, I'm not criticizing San Francisco. Is there something else maybe you guys could be concentrating on other than male circumcision being banned? I understand that it is of paramount interest for some people. You may say to me, Phil, you're in denial because you were circumcised and you are not interested in this. No, I'm not. I don't remember it. I guess I was in agony, according to you. According to you, I have been stigmatized. I have been traumatized. I have been Robert W. Morganized. That's a real cultural reference.
Yeah, I didn't know who he is.
Well, a long time ago. Anyway, most bands in San... Robert W. Morgan was a great morning man on KHJ here in the city of Los Angeles. Most bands in San Francisco are enacted by the Board of Supervisors, but comes November, it sounds like voters will have the opportunity to decide whether to ban male circumcision. San Francisco resident Lloyd Schofield said Thursday he is on track to have enough signatures to play... Lloyd, what is this guy Lloyd? What is he about, like 70 or something? Is he a doctor? I don't know.
You know, I bet you I know why.
Why?
I bet you he's, well, I better not say.
Why?
He's probably got one that goes left or something, you know, like it's all crooked.
Yeah, he probably got one that's all wrecked.
He's got one that's all wrecked?
Yeah.
On account of supercision? Or supercision?
Yeah, no, on account of, like, circumcision.
He's got one that's wrecked on account of circumcision. Well, it says here that San Francisco resident Lloyd Schofield, we're not sure how old he is, Jason says he looks like he's in his 50s, said Thursday he is on crack. I mean, he's on track to have enough signatures to place his proposed measure on the November ballot that would make it illegal to, quote, circumcise, excise, cut, or mutilate the foreskin, testicle, or penis of another person who has not attained the age of 18. Oh, God. Now, Schofield has until April the 26th to submit 7,168 valid signatures to make it onto the ballot. He would not disclose how many signatures were collected at this point. Mr. Schofield said he became the proponent of the local ballot measure after being asked to champion a local bill during a July symposium on the circumcision held at UC Berkeley. Schofield said he was approached by those affiliated with a group pushing for a federal bill to end male genital mutilation in the U.S., according to its website, mgmbill.org. Now, I would like to ask this question. Are we doing this because it's just an unnatural thing?
What do you mean, we?
I mean, are we, as in, is he doing this because it's an unnatural thing? Because there's something that is unhygienic about being circumcised, because my understanding was that is the more hygienic thing to do. Am I psychologically scarred? Other men like me, others, just about everybody, in fact, because we were circumcised? What are we talking about?
I don't know, man. I think the guy's saying that if you got circumcised, then you've mutilated it. You know, you've wrecked it.
Yeah, it's not going to work as good.
What do you mean it ain't going to work as good? How the hell much better can it work?
I don't know, man. What's the guy saying?
No, that's not what he's saying. You don't know what he's saying. The signature gathering is run by a committee of about 10. The Committee of 10. And he said Schofield would not divulge the identities of the... Oh, what are you pulling here now, man? He won't say how many signatures. He won't identify the Committee of 10 members. The whole thing, this sounds like something out of the queue, man. You remember that?
Yeah, that was like Star Trek with Next Generation and a bunch and a Q.
What's a Q?
Some super race in Star Trek. Anyway, Schofield would not divulge the identities of the committee members, but said several are spending their own money to pay for signature gatherers to help out. Boy, this is, how can you get motivated on this, man? I must be really uneducated. I'm totally uneducated on this topic. The cat is so motivated. I've got to do this. I've given my life. Oh, God, I've given my whole life to it. Well, what is this? I got in circumcision. You're like, isn't there other stuff that's, you know, anyway. I figured that after, and I have to admit I was one of those people, that after Vice President Gore won that
what was it? Global...
Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize for Peace. And they'd passed over that lady who had saved the lives of Jewish children from being exterminated by the Nazis, right? Remember that lady, Jace? What's her name again? I'm sorry, but I forget. Now, this is a woman who was tortured by the Gestapo and the SS. I don't want to really imagine what that is or what that's like, but can't be good, man. And, yeah, Irina Sendler. And she walked with a limp for the rest of her life because of the tortures that she was put through. But she saved many, many hundreds of lives of children, right? Now, she was up for the Nobel Peace Prize the same year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, ma'am. They still gave it to Gore.
They gave it to Gore. Now, I understand that. You know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. I don't know. I don't know what their criteria is. To me, it seems like a woman that saves the lives of children and undergoes torture at the hands of the Gestapo in order to do that. It seems like maybe she's got the edge. I don't know. But I will say, I will say that it's now made me very aware that the values of, you know, there's just a lot of different values out there. I don't know. So here's this cat. He's busted his ass. He's worked his whole life. He's sweated. He's slaved. He's used his own money. He's lost wives. He's lost children. He's lost homes. All in the search of trying to get rid of circumcision. And he said he's out there himself, not being paid.
This guy sounds like these crackers or something.
Don't say that, bud. You don't know. He's out there himself, not being paid, collecting the signatures outside. I mean, this may be something really important that I'm just, like, completely brain dead and regressive about. You know, I must be a Neanderthal. But nowadays, everything going so fast. I have a theory, by the way.
Read the story, man. Tell me the theory later.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Just read the story, man. He's always getting sidetracked.
Excuse me? I didn't mean to get sidetracked.
Always getting sidetracked. Never get to the end of the story.
Well, okay, I'll get to the end of the story. Do you mind if I mention the thing after the end of the story?
Yeah, then you can do that. But until then, finish the story.
Yes, sir.
Well, you really should finish the story.
Yeah, okay, guys, I'll finish the story. The signature gathering is run by the Committee of Ten. Nobody wants to divulge their identity. It's some secret group, probably Masons, probably Skull and Bones. I don't know who they are. Probably the Illuminati or the Trilateral Commission. In fact, that's what they're called, the Illuminati Trilateral Commission Against Circumcision. Schofield said he's out there himself, not being paid, collecting the signatures outside grocery stores and in neighborhoods. In other words, scaring little children. Like the Castro, the Haight, and No Valley. We say, would you like to help protect the children from forced circumcision? This is a human rights issue, Schofield said. And when asked to define that, he couldn't. The proposed measure, I'm kidding, he didn't do that. The proposed measure would assess up to $1,000 and up to 1 year in jail. What do you, well, I circumcised a kid, I don't know, you're a doctor, right? Yeah, but I'm in jail now. Up to 1 year in jail for someone who performs a circumcision. Although some studies indicate that circumcision reduces the risk of STD transmission, others have indicated that the procedure is not worth the associated risks and diminished sexual function. So you want little tiny kids to get ready for the big leagues. Is that it there, Mr. Schofield, huh? Diminished sexual function? Several Jewish organizations have weighed in against the ban as well, pointing out that circumcision rituals play an important historical role for many Jews. Well, there you go, man.
All right, now what was the story you're going to tell?
I forget. San Francisco Chronicle writes, so who is Schofield? Well, he won't say much other than that he's a 58-year-old who used to work for a major hotel chain. He lives with his partner near Buena Vista Park, and they have no children. But don't bother asking whether he had the procedure done himself. It's really not about me, he said. People use circumcision as a personal way to attack me, to discredit my message. The base of our argument is you're spending incredible amounts of money doing painful and damaging surgery to an unwilling patient, he said. Then he dropped his pants, people screamed, and ran from the room. You got it. 9 pounds. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I knew what you were going to say.
I'm joking. Shut up. So that's that. I can't, I haven't really gotten a sense from this guy, and the circumcision is always, it's always been a conversation that has been associated with chortles and chuckles and tee-hees. And so we have never really been educated as to the damage that is done, if in point of fact there is damage done, and maybe there is, And maybe this is something that should be relegated back to just the, you know, if the Jewish people, that is part of their religious tradition, fine, great, groovy. But if you're telling me that because I was circumcised, I lost a half of a foot, I mean,
oh, yeah, man.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you're kidding me, man. That'd be the world's biggest. You're crazy.
I don't know. That's what a cat's saying. We got circumcised, man. That means that vital inches, if not feet, were lost.
Yeah, right, man. You wish.
Well, hey, dude. I mean, what's he talking about? Diminished sexual function. You know, if I find that out, if I find that that's true, then I will be upset, although it doesn't much make any difference now. Christchurch quake, 75 dead, shifting gears very quickly. This is a sad story. It's brutal, man, and the Southern Hemisphere has had its fair share of some brutal stories this year, including the flooding in Australia, and now what happened in New Zealand. This earthquake... has once again, it's another earthquake that has damaged significantly the Christchurch Cathedral, which is the main Anglican cathedral for the entire country of New Zealand. And it's there in the city of Christchurch. And it's the fifth earthquake that this cathedral has had to endure. The first being in 1901. And the other point of interest is that this is the second significant earthquake this year in New Zealand. The first on September the 4th was, I think, 7.0 or above. But because it was the epicenter was in an area that was far more sparsely populated and far less built or built up, there wasn't near the damage or death. I don't think there was any death, in fact, on September the 4th. But this, more centrally located to populous and built-up areas, obviously urban areas, 75 people have died now in Christchurch. Now, here is Ann Voss. She did a series of media interviews from her cell phone while trapped beneath rubble in her office building in Christchurch. Here she speaks with New Zealand TV Channel 3.
I hope he hears me. I hope someone knows I'm here. I suppose they do.
Yeah, you said earlier it sounded like rescuers were coming.
Yes. Other people on other floors, and I suppose they're going up and trying to get up, you know, everyone else, and I just have to wait. Oh, a couple of hours ago, I thought I'd had it. I thought that's it, you know, goodbye, Anne. But I managed to wiggle a bit out and breathe a bit because I couldn't breathe. There was no air, and now I've got a wee bit of air here.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit happier.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me? That lady's, she's in a building?
She's trapped?
When she was given that interview, trapped, yes.
That guy's making her use up the air.
Yeah, that's a good point, bud. That guy that's interviewing her is making her use up air. She should have said, oh, you're done now, love, because I've got to breathe with the air you're making me use. The anchor asked whom Voss called on her cell phone. She said, you. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, but prior to reaching out to the media, who was she called? As of this evening, though, rescuers had not yet reached her, but she is in good health. Have they gotten her out? Yes. Let's check with Jason Rance, our producer. She is confirmed rescued as of a few hours ago. Okay, fantastic.
I have. Yeah, I rang my kids to say goodbye. I actually, horrible. My daughter was crying and I was crying because I really thought that was it. But, you know, you want to tell them you love them, don't you? I have no idea what's going on out there.
You sound like you're bearing up pretty well.
I'm trying. I've had my moment. As I say, a few hours ago, I was ready to take me away.
Wait a minute. She said she called her daughter?
She called her daughter up to say goodbye.
Man, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Didn't you just hear her?
Yeah, but that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. That's the first time I ever heard of that one. I've never heard of anybody calling up a relative to say, this is it, goodbye, and then calling them back in an hour and saying, you know what, no, it wasn't.
That you must have got that wrong.
What do you mean I got it wrong, man? Did you just hear what she said?
Yeah, but she said that she called up her daughter to say goodbye, and she's still here.
Yes, she's still here because she thought that she thought she was a goner, man. She thought she'd had it. Probably if that guy made her talk much more, she would have used up all the oxygen and she would have had it. She probably said, well, goodbye now. I have to hang up. Why is that? Because if I talk any more to your ass, I'll be dead. So let me just use my oxygen for more productive things. Thank you very much, Channel 3.
That would have used up all the oxygen there, just the stuff you just said.
Maybe. But the point... You guys are weird, man.
I'm weird, man. You're the guy talking about it.
Hey, man, don't you understand that the lady was saying she called up her daughter. She wouldn't do it as a joke.
That's what I thought she was doing.
No, she's... What kind of a joke is that? Hey, baby, guess what? I'm in the trapped in an elevator in the earthquake. No, I'm not. What?
I don't know.
She was trapped. She thought she was dead. And then she realized, no, I think I'm going to live. So she called her daughter back and said, no, I'm going to live.
Yeah, but then what if she found out later?
Found out later what?
That she wasn't going to.
Well, then she'd call her back and say, no, on second thought, I ain't going to make it. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, but she's going to say, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't make it. And then call up, no, yes, I am going to make it. No, I'm not.
Nobody is going to do that, man, okay? Either she's sure she's going to make it. No one's going to go, oh, honey, goodbye, I didn't make it. No, on second thought, yes, I am. No, on second thought, no, I'm not. Are you nuts?
Yeah, with no oxygen, no, you do stupid stuff.
Really? Is that how you got this gig? You walked right into that one, man. You just tee him up, bud. I hit him out, baby. You tee him up, I hit him out. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming back, the state of Wisconsin reviewing complaints the doctors are writing knowingly false excuse notes for protesters. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, for shot glasses, best of CDs, our blog, our uncensored videocast, and much, much more.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. I want to give you, in my opinion, what's going on in Wisconsin, what's going to happen in Wisconsin, and we have this story about these fake excuse notes. I believe that what will happen in Wisconsin is the following thing. I think that the protesters are going to lose the American people at some point because they're going to be seen as people who really have kind of a decent salary and a decent life that they've had for a long time, and there's really a distressed economic times, and it's going to be harder and harder for people to go, gee, that's great, you're in a union, and, you know, wow, I wish I was you. They're going to lose the support they're getting. And then I don't know whether Wagner or Walker is counting on that, but I think Walker would do himself a lot of good. Is once the power shifts, once, in other words, the momentum of the protesters finally fades and they're sort of on the defensive, that's when he should offer them a little face-saving meeting. And basically tell them, come on in, let's sit down. You ain't going to get jack squat, but at least we can make you look good. You know, which was kind of what that guy was saying tonight earlier in our show, Rob Barnes. All right, state begins review of excuse notes for protesters. This is the state of Wisconsin. The Department of Regulation and Licensing began to review 300 email complaints about doctors issuing excuse notes for protesters at the state capitol. Complaints that name a specific doctor and the alleged violation of rules covered by their licenses are forwarded to the Wisconsin Medical Examining Board. Yeah, I know a lot of these doctors probably think that they're, you know, you can't back me down. Well, I mean, you've got a license. They've got to review it. Did you violate the rules? You're a doctor. To date, the names of doctors Lou Sanner and James Shropshire have been cited in media reports about the medical excuses dispensed over the weekend. Conservative-leaning think tank McIver Institute spoke to unidentified doctors at the protest over the weekend. They admit to passing out medical notes. Videographer Christian Hartsock filming himself getting a doctor's note from an unidentified doctor.
I'm from California, so I'm not used to this weather.
Okay.
You know, so it's very, very, very chilly, very cold.
Thank you.
You know, my legs have been numb. My feet have been numb.
Okay.
Just, you know, it's just not weather I'm acclimated to.
So I'm concerned about that. I'd like you to take the rest of the day off today, then, and get some rest.
Okay.
There you go. So he gave him a note, and he don't even live in Wisconsin. Our show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director, of course, is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com. Until tonight, forget it.
Phil Henry.